In December 1999, more than a year after opening arguments, the ruling came down. Same-sex couples deserved the same rights as heterosexual couples. But there was a catch. The court told the legislature to decide how those rights would be granted.
And basically, they said, you've got to give equal rights under the law, and we don't care what you call it, which I thought was pretty ingenious.
Howard Dean had been governor of Vermont for 8 years when the ruling was announced. Just hours later, he staked out his own position. The legislature should satisfy the court's ruling, but not pass a marriage law. Dean also made a comment that day that afterward he would have to explain and defend.
As in many things that I do, I probably shouldn't have said it, but it's what I was thinking, and I think it was what most Vermonters were thinking. I said, look, I'm uncomfortable with same-sex marriage, same as everybody else. Well, there was a big to-do about that, but, you know, I was where most Vermonters were.
Vermont doesn't make law through ballot initiatives, so if public opinion was against the idea, it would be expressed through pressure on the citizen legislature. The question of same-sex marriage was becoming what advocates had wanted to avoid, a legislative battle.
Rules of the assembly require that we all behave ourselves, try to be polite towards each other and respect each other's opinions.
That winter, Vermonters braved the snow and packed the statehouse to stand up and give testimony on marriage. Round after round, citizens were given 2 minutes to speak their piece. Hundreds of people pleaded with lawmakers to right an injustice or to preserve the sanctity of marriage.
It concerns me that without traditional marriage intact, the children of our state will be victims of confusion and a lack of a strong standard.
The question is not only should they be allowed to marry, but are gay and lesbian Vermonters worthy of respect and acceptance?
For centuries, marriage between a man and a woman has been the glue that has held societies together.
As a woman living in a committed, loving relationship with another woman with whom I am raising her 2 sons, I live a secretive life out of fear.
And would ask that this body of lawmakers not bend to political pressure to legitimize this behavior by calling it marriage.
The House Judiciary Committee took up the issue first and spent a month determining how to proceed. Should they attempt a bill legalizing same-sex marriage or create a separate, parallel institution? Several individuals were key to the politics of the issue throughout that winter. One of them was Representative Bill Lippert, then vice chairman of the committee. He was also the only openly gay member of the Vermont legislature.
It's hard to recreate the fact that in the year 1999, prior to the Baker decision, there was no gay marriage legally established anywhere, not only in the United States, but anywhere in the world. Now, I got to tell you, I've had numbers of conversations with people who would say to me, I just don't understand why you just didn't do gay marriage in 2000. Why did you settle for civil unions? After all, there was marriage in blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah country. And I'd have to remind him, no, there wasn't, actually. I can assure you, we took the testimony. It really did not exist.
So, after weeks of hearings, the committee put forth a bill to create a new institution, civil unions. The idea was to grant the same benefits of marriage, but without the title. Even that would face a tough fight. Angry protesters from out of state became commonplace. One group even rented a storefront near the state capitol. The lawmakers in Montpelier, all of them part-time public servants with no offices or staff, had their mail screened in a separate building. The intensity of the issue and the pressure on the legislators was unprecedented. As the bill was debated on the floor of the House of Representatives, observers packed the visitors' gallery and lined the walls of the chamber.
I will not support the legalization of sodomy, the tearing down of traditional marriage in this country by the passage of this law.
I haven't heard anything in this bill that I consider to be a threat to my traditional marriage or any other traditional marriage. I'm going to vote for this bill.
I believe in the importance for children to be able to search back and find out their heritage, to know who their father was and where their father came from, and not be able to trace them back just to the corner sperm bank.
We can't take a person and set them aside. We can't take a person and suggest that there's a difference and we can deny them rights.
I believe that we are really putting ourselves in a dangerous situation in regard to a judgment from the Almighty God. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
It took 12 hours of debate on the House floor before the bill ultimately passed, 76-69. Getting through the House was just the first hurdle. Debate began anew in the Vermont Senate. More testimony, more arguments, more passionate pleas from people on both sides of the issue. By the time the bill passed in the spring of 2000, Vermont was exhausted. Governor Dean avoided attention when he signed the bill into law. There were no reporters or photographers to document that historic moment. No public signing ceremony, which garnered criticism from many observers. A decade later, Dean still remembers the mood in his office that day.
It was very emotional, even among my staff. It was incredible. It was in many ways a crystallization of what we all stood for. It was why we were in politics. It's amazing I can get this emotional about it 10 years later.
Even now, his eyes redden at the memory.
Most public servants never get a chance to do something like this. I think the civil rights laws in the 1960s were like this, where the absolute nature of your soul is tried by doing something like this. And there's so many people that have been in the, and if you miss the boat or you dodge the vote, you've wasted your whole life in politics because you really never accomplish. You know, you can change the tax law and the state education formula, and even universal health care, which is my passion, is a big deal. But there are some times when you have to see who you are as a human being at the deepest level that you're in. And that was what was happening in my office when I signed it.
At the time, though, the enactment of civil unions wasn't universally accepted as a meaningful triumph of humanity. That summer, in the small towns of the Green Mountains, black and white signs appeared on roadsides, barns, and car bumpers. Take back Vermont. There were other political issues that fueled the Take Back Vermont sentiment, but civil unions were a driving factor. Craig Benson from Take It to the People explains.
The coalescence was over the idea that someone had taken away what we had always considered Vermont to be, which was belonging to the people. And when our elected representatives tell us very clearly, time after time, in big ways, that they don't want to know what the people want, or they don't care what the people want, then it's time to take back Vermont.
Gay marriage advocate Beth Robinson.
People think about how ugly it got, and it did get ugly, but it actually didn't get ugly until somewhat later.
We've seen you down in San Francisco being hugged by all these gays and lesbians.
That's crap.
That is a crap. It's right at Times Island.
That summer, Howard Dean felt the wrath of voters as he campaigned for re-election and traveled the state.
People were hugging you and trying to touch you.
I said there was a picture.
No, but it says your word. Right. I'm so happy to have endorsed it because I believe in this.
Are you bisexual?
Civil rights.
Guys, look.
Marriage advocates say people in the gay community felt fear for their safety as the campaign season grew more heated. Years later, Governor Dean revealed that he wore a bulletproof vest for much of that summer and fall. Election day in the fall of 2000 was largely a referendum on civil unions. Dean held on to the governor's office with just a hair over 50% of the vote. Democrats barely kept their majority in the state Senate. But in the House of Representatives, 16 lawmakers who supported civil unions were turned out of office, and Democrats lost control of the chamber. Angry voters had made themselves heard.